So Disney's theme park attendance is down, but they don't seem to be too worried about it yet because they're making more money.
Yeah, because the price per spending per guest is up because they keep raising prices on everything.
Right. So we're going to talk about this. We did not talk about Disney's earnings call last week. Josh D'Amaro had his first earnings call, and he said some things that are very interesting. We'll go over that. But we were actually out sick for most of last week, and we didn't feel like dealing with a daily dose of Disney.
Nothing he said was really surprising. It was basically, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, which is we're going to charge the few people we have more. Was his answer, which is what they've already been doing. So Halloween, the price on the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party on Halloween night went up $50 in 2 years. It's already sold out because people are going to pay it. So they can just keep raising it. So next year, expect it to go even higher.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, people are like, well, what's it going to take for Disney to get a clue? I'm like, for people to not spend money at Disney.
Right, stop buying it. Yeah.
You know, that's basically it. Now, to be fair, I do have more faith in Josh D'Amaro than I had in Bob Iger or Bob Chapek, but we'll see what he's allowed to do. But I think with everything going on in the world right now, we're going to see more stories about Disney attendance being down. We're going to see more stories about their cruise line maybe not doing so hot because of the virus and all this stuff going on there. But then what they'll do is they'll just turn around and gouge the people that go, because some people are literally taking out second mortgages just to go to Disney World.
Yeah, so they'll just, you know, go after those people. Exactly.
Yeah, they'll go after those people. And they were for a while. That was actually Bob Iger's thing. And that was when we were doing the Disney blogging full time. They were putting these, $700, $800 tents in Tomorrowland because they wanted the whales. They wanted the people that were going to spend.
Like little Oasis tents, and you had to spend $700 a day to rent them.
Yeah, it was insane.
Drinks and little fridges in there and air conditioning, and you could just rent them and go sit in them. And it was a really bad idea, and it didn't work. It went nowhere, and they got rid of them.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. We will see what happens here. So before we get into it any further, please subscribe for more pop culture news, views, and rants. Guys, you'll get a woohoo if you do.
Woohoo.
If you would like more, go out to more, more.clownfishtv.com. That's moreclownfishtv.com for more Clownfish TV, including content that you will not find here on YouTube for a variety of reasons. So thank you very much for the support over there. This is Neon. I am here with Geeky Sparkles.
Hello.
And it's time for your daily dose of dismal Disney. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about the gas prices and how that's probably going to affect Disney travel. Every time we have a downturn in the economy, Disney vacations are one of the first things that go, obviously, because they're crazy
expensive.
Anything
any extras, you know, or what people aren't going to have the money for.
And gas now is some places, $6 or $7 a gallon? It's $5 here in some places. I don't see this slowing up anytime soon.
Well, it's funny to me because they just did the 2026 TripAdvisor Traveler's Choice Awards for the top places to go. And Knoebels. Yay, Knoebels!
I love Knoebels, which was the
theme park that Neon grew up near. I grew up closer to Kennywood. He grew up by Knoebels. Number one. Traditional atmosphere, free admission, award-winning wooden coasters. Number two is Dollywood. Number three is the Magic Kingdom. Number four is Hollywood Studios. Number five is Islands of Adventure. Number six is Epcot. Seven's Legoland. Eight's Universal Studios Florida. So a lot of the bigger ones, the bigger parks, they're farther down the list because they're so effing expensive. And you're going to find people are just going to be like, you know, we're going to go to our local park, Knoebels. Knoebels has been around for years. It's free admission. You just pay to ride what you want to ride.
Yep.
It is very laid back park. Number one, overall, all that. Dollywood, number two, beating out Disney's and Universal because they're so fucking expensive. I'm sorry for saying the F word, but they are.
Yeah, it's weird about Knoebels because I bounced back and forth when I was a kid. I bounced back and forth between coasts because my family situation. So I went to Disneyland and went to Knoebels. Those are my two parks. That's where I went all the time. And Knott's Berry Farm, I went there too. But Knoebels, one, I love their haunted house. But two, I never realized. I kept thinking, well, this is just kind of like a locals park. I never realized that people come from all over the world to ride some of the vintage rides that they have. Because they're the only park that still has some of the stuff in service. And the wooden coasters are some of the best in the world, I guess.
Kennywood also has a lot of the old posters and stuff too, but Knoebels is known for it. And people go to those parks. And like for us, it was no big deal because even when our kids were little, we just take them there because we lived over there. And, you know, for me, it was always, we went to Kennywood or Disney World. Those are the places we went to when I was a kid. But I just thought that was interesting because my mom actually told me today, she said Knoebels is number one. And I'm like, what? And she, and I looked and she's right. It won number one. Dollywood was number two.
Huh.
And well, number three was Magic Kingdom.
I can't say that Disney World is a good value anymore. I mean, it never really was cheap, but at least I never felt like I got ripped off. And now over the last couple of years, I would say post-pandemic or during the pandemic into current year, this is like peak greed for Disney because they keep taking away.
Well, I'd say right before the pandemic, because that's when they were getting the $1 billion box offices. And that's when they started jacking up the ticket prices a lot. And then that's when they hit that huge price hike to the annual passes and stuff was right before the pandemic. So I would argue it was the 2018, 2019, somewhere in there was worse. But it's getting out of hand. And the reason people aren't going is because Disney is too expensive. I think people are fed up with Disney in a lot of ways for other, you know, things. You know, families, their movies of family movies of late have been questionable. They've made different choices that people don't agree with, which is fine. You don't have to agree. You can agree too. It doesn't matter. People aren't going. And but I think the number one problem is the expense. It is just too expensive. There's no reason in 2 years the ticket prices for a Halloween party went up mostly between $20 and $35.
There are reasons because we have to tell the investors that we're, you know, maximum profit, maximum revenue.
When you have a board and you have investors that you have to answer to, and that's, we're seeing it across the board. It's not just theme parks across the board, that it's all about maximum profits, no matter who you have to screw. It's not about customer service. It's not about being the best company you can be and being top of your game. It's about how you can give rich people more money.
Yeah. That's basically capitalism in a nutshell, right? Rich people get more money. Okay, this is coming from Deadline. Disney, and again, this is several days old because we were out sick, and this
at
is going to be-
At least I can talk now, for the most part. I can speak again, so we're good.
Disney Brass says, soaring gas prices have not yet hit the parks, but they're mindful of macro uncertainty consumers are facing. They're going to cut vacations.
You're mindful of crap. You're given deals, quote unquote. And your deals are basically, you're taking ticket prices down to what they were like a year ago. You know what I mean? That's not really a deal. And you're given free dining. We used to do free dining all the time. And usually free dining is indicative of, oh shit, we're not booking parks. So, and you guys deliberately, I know you like block out hotels and stuff and then try to be like, oh, you create false demand. Like the parks, they're filling up, even when they aren't. We know the food prices, the merchandise have crept up more and more and more and more. You're constantly raising prices on everything else. Even if you drop the tickets somewhat, you raise everything else up for, you know, like we have different price points for affordability. Like hell you do. You can't even get free fast passes anymore. You want people to come back to your parks? Bring back free fast pass. But you're not going to do that because you're going to be like, you can still do paid Lightning Lane if you want to, you know, have extras. You get your three free fast passes. If you want to do Lightning Lane on top of that, you can pay for that and get more. But bring back the free fast passes, but they won't.
So Disney CFO Hugh Johnston said, we haven't seen any change in consumer behavior from elevated gas prices thus far and aren't seeing a material impact on the remainder of the fiscal year. Thus far, the gas prices have only been up for a couple of months.
I call total bullshit on this. I mean, yeah, it's only been up for a couple of months, but we've already known that people keep reporting that the attendance is down. And what they're doing is like, oh, the lines are still a lot of wait time. Yeah, because you're selling all the Lightning Lanes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to impact it. I'm sorry. There's no way people can't. It's already been impacted because it was the inflation on food and stuff first. Now it's the gas prices. I mean, how much more money do you think people are going to have? Because you're looking at the prices on Disney Trip like 5 years ago compared to now, thousands more.
Yeah. The price of gasoline at the pump is over 40%, and there's a shortage of jet fuel. We'll talk about that because there's a bigger issue going on with the planes, which has doubled in price since the war with Iran started in February. So, again, they would not know this early into it how much the gas is impacted.
Well, that's true, because this would have been the quarter that went from January to March.
Yes. So,
and we didn't have the problem with Iran until, like, was it?
Late February.
So it wouldn't have impacted it that much.
And the gas prices didn't start rising really noticeably until like last month.
It got
month.
Really bad. Like,
So here, we'll stop there with the jet fuel. So there's a couple things. One, Spirit Airlines went out of business.
Yeah, I guess the fuel prices pushed them over.
The fuel prices pushed them over. So that means the airline tickets are going to go up. A lot of people fly. Spirit Airlines, I know a lot of people fly Spirit to go to Disney. In fact, here in Western Pennsylvania, the La Trobe Airport, and that's where we used to fly out. Most of the time we go to La Trobe. And for the longest time, it was like taking a bus. You could hop a Spirit flight down, go down in the morning, come back at night, or just stay overnight or whatever. And my understanding, talking to cast members, is that Pennsylvania and New York are like the two biggest states for Disney visitors.
Mm-hmm. PA is one of their top, yeah.
Yeah, one of their top. And I think it's because it was easy to get down there, and now it's not going to be so easy to get down there.
No, driving, depending on where you live in PA, it could take hours. Like, because when you talk, you figure you stop for gas, you stop to go to the bathroom or whatever. It could take 18 hours easy from where we're at. And we're like in the like middle of the range to go down. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people are going to be up higher. It's going to take even longer.
Yeah. And it's a hell of a drive, right? So beyond that, this is another thing they're going to have to contend with, the cruise ship virus, the norovirus and hantavirus.
Norovirus, yes. The other one, it's been around for a long time, but it's not something that happens very often. And it's not as easy to contract as, you know, some people are reporting. But, you know, it's not like a cruise ship. It happened on a cruise ship, but I don't think it's like something that cruise ships need to watch out for so much.
Well, I think though, just the
norovirus for sure. Yes.
Oh, norovirus is horrible. I've had that. Is the worst. It is the sickest I have ever been in my entire life. Was norovirus, and I thought I was gonna die. It was awful. Mm-hmm. You didn't get it, so
I was pregnant. Didn't know.
Yeah, she was pregnant with our daughter, but I got it, and Squid King got it, and we literally camped out in the living room with an inflatable air mattress because we were vomiting like every 10 minutes.
And he was little. Awful. He was only like 3 or 4. It was awful. I thought I was getting sick, but here I was just pregnant.
Yeah. But it was not pleasant. I don't recommend it. But that might scare people off too. So there's, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, the thought of you might get it, not understanding it, it would definitely scare people away. Yes, 100%.
That's what people don't understand. So the economy is based on feelings, right? The economy really is based on feelings. How people feel about things, how they feel about spending, that pretty much determines
how secure they feel. Yes.
How secure they feel. And at this point right now, especially with layoffs, and okay, so you got to look at, I mean, this could be the perfect storm for Disney because we have a bunch of white collar workers, tech workers, office workers losing their jobs. You know, AI is being blamed, but we know it's probably something else. They probably just want cheaper employees or, you know, overseas or whatever. But regardless, that is the demographic that went to Disney the most because mm-hmm. they had the disposable income. They had the job security. You know, you very seldom have somebody working at, you know, retail that's going to drop $10,000 on a Disney trip, but somebody that's manager or something. Yeah.
You save for a long time to go. That's what I feel bad about. People save for a long time to go and they're like, once in a lifetime, we're going to take your kids. It's going to be exciting. And then they keep jacking the prices up. So, you know, people are going to, they finally got enough money to go and then they still don't have enough money to go because they raise the prices again. It's ridiculous.
Amid strong numbers for the March quarter, the Experiences division posted 7% higher revenue at $9.5 billion, while operating income rose 5% to $2.6 billion. The thing is, they're kept bearing this. The attendance is down.
Yeah, like you said, it's been down. Everybody, I mean, anybody who's been paying attention can tell you that.
So they said domestic and international park attendance along with passenger cruise grew 2% compared to prior year. However, attendance at the domestic parks declined 1% when compared to the prior year quarter. And this is before the gas prices really kick in.
And what was going on, too, you have to remember, like, they have their overseas parks as well. And the overseas parks, the attendance has been pretty steady at those places. But it's down stateside. And then they were banking on people coming over from other countries. Like, they bank on foreign travel.
Yeah, and they're not traveling.
It's too expensive now.
Yeah. And with the airline situation now, and, you know what I'm saying, it's like, this is kind of the perfect storm for them. And every time the economy takes a hit, now the good news is every time the economy takes a hit, you can get some really good deals if you got the money to go to Disney, because mm-hmm. they're always like just throwing
they
free
have a
dining
bunch
at people
of deals right now, guys, a bunch.
And that tells you where they're at. That tells you where they're at right now, because they would not be giving you all kinds of deals if the attendance, the projections were good. Because they know months.
We've done this a long time, guys. And this is what always happens when, like you said, they know months ahead when the projections are not looking great. These are when these big, big deals roll out. And then there's the amount of them right now also, to me, is indicative of their, oops, we got to do something. Oh, crap. You know, this is, we've been doing this a long time.
They're also saying that they've got increased competition from Epic Universe. Oh, my God.
Well, that's true also. Shocker there. A lot of people are just going to both.
Yeah, that's true. But they're saying, yeah, we've got some levers we can pull if things get really bad or whatever.
What's that levers we can pull? We can charge more.
We can charge more. Yeah.
We'll raise Disney Plus again. We'll, you know, start raising the prices of all our merchandise. We'll start jacking up food. We're going to raise ticket prices again.
We're going to roll out Disney Plus, which is a more expensive Disney
Plus. That's right. You know, Lightning Lane, and then we're going to do something else to make it even more expensive or some other perk that rich people will pay for.
So let's just go through real quick what Josh Damaro said. Again, you know, we're kind of late to this, but this is coming from Puck News, and they broke down what he was saying. He had a manifesto, and they said this is Disney's Josh Damaro manifesto translator. So these are the key things that he said. He said, number one, investing in IP and creativity that breaks through, builds connections, and endures. Puck says the translation is franchises, baby.
Yes, that's exactly what that means. Except, but not that you've not, you know, misused franchises you already had.
Yeah. It's an obvious goal for any Hollywood studio, but Damaro's articulating a renewed focus on what makes Disney special. Content that could become overcrowded theme parks in Shanghai, a backpack at Target. Yeah,
basically what we can monetize.
So this might be why they made the change to Hext, right? Because they've got a female character because they're looking at the merchandise and the witch princess is going to merchandise better than a boy.
It could be. I have no idea. I just know that they keep doing this for and Iger was doing it too, where it was, what can we take IP and shove it into attractions, more merchandise, more meet and greets, that kind of stuff.
Right. They said what he's not saying, though, is the cost of all this endurance and connectivity. Disney routinely spends more than rivals on its IP films, a challenge that Damaro needs to address head on. If the new box office normal is Marvel movies gross $400 million to $500 million worldwide versus a billion, like every Marvel movie is like $1 billion, and Pixar originals eke out $350 million. Hoppers is at $370 worldwide, and Damaro name-checked it as a strong example of our focus on original IP. But then you look at... Yeah, you look at Inside Out too, and it was like $1.5 billion.
Yeah, no, that's. I think Toy Story 5 is going to do really well, but it's a Toy Story movie. You know what I mean? And I mean, they tried that with Lightyear, and that movie did shit because they didn't make it like the IP that people knew.
It's interesting though. I didn't realize this. The Good Dinosaur was considered a major flop.
It was
for Pixar, and it still did $472 million in 2015.
That's adjusted for inflation. Yeah.
But still, it did better than Hoppers and I think maybe Elemental, too. So the new normal is Disney movies are going to make about half of what they used to make. And they're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
They said the cost burden is more pronounced in sports. So they're sticking with linear TV, yada, yada. Okay. Number two, reaching more consumers in more seamless, engaging ways around the world. The translation... One Disney, people. It's everywhere, the Damaro messaging. So much so that One Disney veteran half jokingly asked if Josh would soon have it emblazoned next to Mickey on the Burbank Water Tower. He wants a single, cohesive, and digitally integrated ecosystem, as he emailed staff back in March, both on the Disney Plus interface and in how the company operates. Sounds nice.
That was the Iger thing, too, before. Iger's been saying this since last year, so it was Iger before it was Damaro, but yes.
They said, but Disney already promotes its own projects pretty aggressively across platforms. Have you watched SportsCenter lately? They're promoting Marvel, Star Wars, and The Devil Wears Prada, too, because that is totally the audience for The Devil Wears Prada, too.
For at least Star Wars, they are, like, spending a shit ton of money to promote Star Wars, The Mandalorian, and Grogu, because I think they're so desperate, this has to stick, this has to make money. They are just over the top promoting on this. I've seen, it seems to be, like, much more aggressive than I've seen with other Star Wars films.
So what he's not saying, one, Disney is also a justification for further layoffs, as it was when streamlining the various marketing units. Yeah. So they're going to use that as a reason to get rid of people. Like, yeah, we don't need like 100 different marketing people. But the problem is Disney is such a large company, and a lot of the appendages that they bought, like Marvel and Star Wars, don't fit neatly into the Disney ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is they're trying to Disney-fy this stuff, and it's not working very well.
Well, what's interesting too is one Disney, you have him in charge of CEO and you have Dana Walden in charge of TV and movies. How's that going to work?
Yeah, right.
One Disney, I mean, she'd have to be making sure she's under him. Is that the way to keep her in her place?
Or it could be the other way around. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe she's the Phantom Menace. Who knows? Number three, using advanced technology to power our storytelling and increase monetization and returns.
AI, you're fired.
Yep. Translation, AI is coming in fast. This is going to be the most disruptive aspect of the Damaro agenda, developing and deploying AI across the company's platforms into animation and effects-heavy studio divisions will be as unpopular as it is necessary to compete with aggressive competitors like Amazon and Netflix.
It's funny because they were talking to Favreau about the upcoming Oswald, the Lucky Rabbit show for Disney Plus. And while they are doing some elements of it in LA, they're doing a lot of the animation in Spain. And they're doing some in LA and some in their Canadian studio, but a lot of it seems to be heading to Spain.
Yeah, because in a lot of ways, they don't have to deal with the unions, they don't have to deal with the ecosystem in Glendale, which is pretty toxic right now. So yeah, of course they are. Of course they are. Eventually what's going to happen is they're going to make the stuff wherever it's the cheapest to make the stuff. Mm-hmm. And we'll have the Disney Animation Studio, but it's just going to be kind of a name only. Like, we're not going to be having a lot of the day-to-day, I don't think.
I mean, it'll probably be like there. Storyboards and things like that.
Yeah. The decision-making will be there, but it's not going to be, like back in Walt's day where you had, rooms full of animators just hunched over a desk and that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So what he's not saying, nobody knows how AI and interactivity is going to play out, of course.
Right.
Tech Goliaths change their goals and agendas quickly, as Disney has learned with OpenAI and Sora. Yeah.
I would not put my money all in on AI or one unified anything.
No, I think this could be a huge disaster for them, and they need to watch it because they got lucky. They got lucky during the pandemic that they had Disney Plus. If they didn't have Disney Plus,
right,
they would have been screwed, completely screwed.
That's the only thing that saved them. And here's the thing, so one unified everything. Everything's together on one app, one place. Okay, so before, if your Disney Plus went down, you could still book a trip. You could still shop on Disney Plus. You could still do all those things. And, if your Disney, my Disney experience went down, no big deal. You could still watch Disney Plus. You could still, if you're all connected into one thing, it goes down, it takes down everything at once.
Now, it's interesting, going back to the Deadline article, they're talking about, the Disney Cruise Line, they just launched the Disney Adventure. Well, they kicked passengers off of the Disney Adventure, and I don't think they went into details as to what was going on. They said
they didn't say what. They just said there was an issue, technical issue or something, and they basically gave everybody a refund and then 50% off of another rebooking.
A mechanical issue and engineering that the engineering team could not fix. So, you didn't want another Titanic, right? So, I guess that's a good thing, right? But, I don't know. I just think they're potentially, with the economy being the way that it is, and everything Disney does being contingent on people having extra money, and people are tightening their belts with streaming and stuff, too, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I was just thinking how mad these people would probably be in the cruise ship because they got boarded and everything. And then
they
had to be. But some of these people probably flew the whole way over there or flew from other places, to come in. And then it's great. You get your money back for the cruise and then 50% off the next one. But you don't get your money back for your plane trip, your plane tickets. And then you have to reschedule everything to get back home.
Yeah. And that's a risk you always take, though, right? I mean, every time you travel, you never know what's going to happen, what's going to be open. I know people get pissed. They would plan a trip to Disney World or Disneyland and their favorite ride would be down. And they only
happens
have
all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it goes with the territory. So be prepared for disappointment. Doesn't matter where you go. It's not even a Disney thing. It's wherever you go, things happen. But that's why you get travel insurance. Are we going to wrap this up?
Yes.
All right. So please subscribe for more pop culture news, views, and rants. We'll talk later.
Bye.